What's up, guys? Alex here, AJNashville.com, here again with our great friend, Mr. Greg Pease. What's up, Greg?
Oh, man, I'm super excited to be here today and discuss really what does we all know success means so many different things to each person, but how do we identify what our success is? And I'm really, really excited to share some values with people today.
Yeah, that's a great topic, actually. It's good that we're bringing this up. You know, success is measured in so many different ways that what one person could consider themselves as being successful, another person may look at it and say, you're not successful. You're not at this level. You're not quite here yet. You know, we often catch ourselves to where we're looking at what other people are doing and considering them in a successful position. But there's one thing that you shared before the show, and I'll let you open up into this. Back when you were in the car business, tell me about the gentleman that you kind of idolized.
Yeah, no, that's – man, so I – as early on in my – so I've been on a development journey, if you will, for roughly the last 10 years. So early on, you know, obviously – or I say obviously, that was roughly the lowest point in my life, and then I decided I was going to do better, and I've done better every year since. But earlier on in the journey – I seen the manager that I worked for. This guy makes, say, $150K a year, wears a suit every day. I'm like, that is success. That's what I'm thinking. So I'm like, I need to do what that guy does. There was a period of time where I was following the things that he did, whatever they may be, whether if he skipped a step somewhere, I was like, well, I guess you're allowed to skip that step if you want to make 100. What I didn't realize that this gentleman was happy at $150K a year. And he was on his way out to retirement. There was once upon a time where he was probably making in the seven figures. Right. $150K was his tail end. That was his Twilight tour out. And to follow that on the beginning, I didn't know how to decipher what success was. I was just razzled by a suit and a couple dollars.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's easy to do because in your eyes, you're looking at an individual that at that point in time is doing a lot better. You know,
right.
Making more money. The surface seems like, hey, dude, this dude's so happy. He's doing great. A lot of times we don't realize that that's simply a mask, you know.
First of all, we're all wearing some mask of sorts or not. And even furthermore, to be clear, for any person, $150K maybe your – if monetary is your success and that may be the thermostat of where success is, it was important to me and is important to me that I didn't want to put restrictions and limitations on myself.
Right. It was almost like a step. You were like, right. Hey, you know what? That's a step I want to get to. And then after that, there's other steps that follow to get to where you want to be, maybe from a monetary standpoint or what you consider as a success standpoint. You know.
And when we talk about we said we would identify and we'll dive in a little bit more. How do you identify what your measure of success is? But then also, how do we identify what we're going to emulate to achieve that?
Right.
And I have to suggest, let's take it out of money. Like we talked about backflips before in podcasts in the past. Let's say someone wanted to ride a dirt bike or do a backflip, whatever the case may be. When you're setting that goal, a success, if it's backflip, right? So then the goal is if I do a backflip, then this is success.
Right.
But think about making your achievement so much bigger. Mm-hmm. Think about if you know, from an emulation standpoint, like maybe a backflip is just enough, but I want to emulate someone that's already had a gymnast gold medal in the Olympics.
Right.
I'm not looking for someone that did two backflips so they can teach me one.
Right, exactly. You're looking at a higher level in order to accomplish – you're trying to accomplish your goal, but if you set your sights much, much higher, there's much, much more you can accomplish. The other thing is you don't start limiting yourself because I think when we fixate on the gold medalist, for example, you focus on that – yes, you're trying to get to where they are and you're doing everything at a much, much higher level because that's how that person is doing it. But if you focused on the person doing two backflips, you've now limited your possibilities because now your only practice is to tuck and get it done twice versus all the other things that go into
all it. All the other people. And that's so huge. I'm glad you said that because we get distracted as humans that if I could do X, I would be worth Y or I'd be able to do Y.
Right.
But X comes with all the other letters in the alphabet that we're not paying attention to.
Yeah, it definitely does. There's a lot of work that goes into becoming that gold medalist. Mm-hmm. You know, a person that can do two backflips, you're only replicating what you can already do once.
And physics, and I have no clue what the – I mean, I couldn't even – you know, forgive me. I don't know what they would even know. But even talking about – so physically, that person has to be flexible enough.
Right.
Mentally, that person has to be tough enough. These are two different exercises, and I don't even know what else goes with that.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the thing. When you look at the gold medalist, you start looking at the habits. What is that person doing that allows them to achieve what they're achieving at a level so great that they're worldwide known for what it is that they do.
I think – I really feel like you just – that was huge value to me, and thank you for saying – you said you look at their habits.
Mm-hmm.
When I look back at the road I took on my journey and I thought – when you said that, I was like, oh, man, if I didn't just look at people for that mask value, if I started looking at them for habits, I'd probably been able to decipher more who I wanted to emulate sooner.
Well, and that a lot of that comes with growth. You know, the thing is there's maturity. I'm going to take, for example, like my brother. My brother's kind of young into the sales business and figuring things out. You know, his level of professional maturity versus my level are much different, understandably so, because I've been doing sales for years and years and years. The difference is if he's able to pick up a few of the habits that I have, he's going to accelerate himself faster than somebody that has nobody to pick up habits from.
Absolutely.
You know? And that's the thing. There's people out there you can literally emulate. You know, if you're looking to be, I don't know, an astronaut, you know, you can see what is it that this astronaut has done to make themselves prepared to get in that suit, to launch into orbit, to launch into outer space. Like what conditioning things does
that person
do? Absolutely.
You definitely will put your own spin on every piece you do. I highly recommend that. Don't try to reinvent the wheel. Someone has paved the path.
Yeah.
You're going to do it different. You're going to do it more unique. There may be a piece they did you're going to decide you're not going to do, or a piece you're going to add to it. But don't start with a blank. There's so many templates out there.
Or reinventing.
Reinventing. You know? It's out there.
And there's nothing wrong with reinventing small aspects. Let's take lifting weights, for example, you know, because that's something that is a very relatable term for a lot of people. A lot of people that probably listen to this podcast have picked up weights at some point in their life, if not actively lifting weights. So the thing is to get big arms, are you going to do it through pushing yourself up, you know, in a handstand? Or are you going to pick up some weights and do some curls and do some triceps exercises? Now, are you going to go to the gym? Are you going to have your own gym at the house? Like, what does that look like for you? And what is your goal that you're trying to obtain? Because when lifting, most bodybuilders have their favorite body part. You know, some love their chest. My chest has got to look like this. So they're going to focus a little more on that. But if your thing is, I love the way my arms look, I want big arms. Like, I'm not going to copy the guy that's building a big chest. Why? Because his goal and my goal, although similar in the nature that we're doing fitness, they're different in the nature that we're focused on two different outcomes.
That's huge. And tying back into what you said, it makes me think about when you said the habits.
Mm-hmm.
So when we look at that guy that's ahead of us and chest might be his big thing, we look at his habits. He's eating six times a day. He's getting up at 6 o'clock every day. He's drinking a gallon of water. He's doing cardio. So we look at his habits.
Yeah.
But keeping in mind that once we achieve our level of success, it doesn't have to look anything like his. We can be well known for our arms and nothing to know about our chest.
Right. Exactly. No, that's a good point. It's a different end result for each individual, you know. And here's what I found. Me personally, you find somebody that you say, hey, you know what, I like that person. I want to become similar to what they are. I want to eventually get on their quote unquote level, you know. And as you mature and as you grow, the level that they were once on that you kind of looked up at now becomes eye level.
Correct.
And you're like, oh, what do I do now? Now I got to find somebody else. And you introduce yourself. And that's what I was talking to. That's another thing I talked to my brother with, is surrounding yourself with people that have the same goals as you do, that can provide the same support. And some people in that circle have to be people that are much, much more successful than you. You know, I have the opportunity, I have a good friend of mine, I won't bring his name up, but he's an individual that's extremely successful, somebody that a lot of people look up to. And I get to sit at a table with him from time to time when we're in the same city for a speaking event or something like that. And that's a person that I can look, and when he talks, I absorb.
Correct.
You know, because everything he has to say is everything I need to learn. You know,
and I think I should throw out there, for those of you that have a nurtured and a strong network, make sure you're using it. For the people that immediately said, well, I don't have that guy. When I started my journey at a very low place, that guy was someone that wrote a book that I never met that was already dead.
Right.
There is people that have achieved more probably greater than what you've actually fathomed. There's people that have achieved like ridiculous amounts of success,
right,
and have written stories, autobiographies, things of that nature. So when you look at, I believe again, like you're talking about like micro macro, we got to have someone that's so far successful that it is far beyond reach. Maybe right. Someone that's currently a billionaire or a multi-billionaire, a multi-millionaire. And then we got to have those people around us that maybe I'm making 100K and one of the people on my team are making $500,000 a year. He's right. Way ahead of me.
Right.
But still, like, that's so close within reach.
Yeah.
That could be 2 years away, actually. Whereas that couple $1 billion is probably a lot more than a couple years away.
Right.
And having that depth in the people that you're networking with.
Well, and you're doing what I talked about earlier with the hiking thing. You know, you have individuals right. that are saying, hey, dude, you're having a hard time getting up this hill. Here's my hand. Let me help you up, you know. And as you progress forward, you can extend the same thing to somebody that's going on along that same journey. You know, the good thing about surrounding yourself with like-minded people is you're both trying – I shouldn't say both. Your group is trying to achieve a similar goal.
Correct.
Which means that you can mastermind with that group, learn from that group, and grow with that group. And sometimes you outgrow a group. That's mm-hmm. the biggest thing, you know, just like the mentors, like I said, you will outgrow your mentors sometimes. But being able to identify what strengths that particular individual or mentor may provide to you versus what you may need at that time.
And also I want to tap into, I think we all know that, I think for the main part, most people would probably agree, most, the competition's healthy.
Yeah.
And I do, I'm part of the most. I would also, as a mindset, put on people. So in that group, when we're going to go back to the bodybuilding, right? Let's go to that group. So we're all somewhere on the mountain, and we're all heading to the top of the mountain. So right. on the course, we can all share our secrets on this way. That's kind of how the mastermind works. For anyone that has, if you're faced with the shortage mindset of, you know, that if I get in this group, they're going to steal my secrets. They're not going to give me the secrets.
Right.
Remember, while you're both going to the top of the mountain, I'm training my arms and the guy next to me is training his chest.
Right.
What we're really talking about is what post-carb source we used.
Yeah.
And so that's where don't get the competition mindset. Don't let the competition is very healthy. You should compete with the people to the left and right. But don't let that mindset hold you back
right.
from getting around a powerful mastermind group.
Well, and you have to have an abundance mindset. That's
absolutely.
The thing. We talked about this. I was at corporate a couple of days ago, and we talked about, you know, all of us in our company, we're top producers in our own nature. You know, regardless if it's VA, FHA, convention, whatever it is, we're all top producers, and we all have different techniques. The difference is I can pick up the phone, and anybody on that roster that's doing better than me, I can pick up and say, hey, you know, Mr. Big Producer, what is it that you're doing?
Absolutely.
And they'll break it down and map it out, and I'll look and I'll say, ooh, I'm doing 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, but I'm forgetting 6, 7, 8, 9.
Right.
Now if I tweak that and make it my own, I'm the guy in the VA space, he's the guy in the conventional space, but if I tweak that a little bit, I can become a better individual
Absolutely.
In my space. You know, the working out example. You know, all of us have walked in the gym, and there's some dude over there, and he's or even a lady. They're sitting there, and they're just doing what you consider a monstrous weight on the bench. And you're like, holy cow, dude, look at this guy. Look at this girl. Look at this person over here doing this. And the bench may not be your strength. So you may go over to the curl, to the barbells, and do a monstrous amount of that. And that person could have the same envy for you that you did for them because your strength is – their weakness.
Right,
you know,
right.
Leg day. I mean, how many people have you seen that are absolutely jacked and their legs are like little chicken legs?
Right, right.
You know?
Don't look at my legs.
Right. No. Don't look at mine either.
No, absolutely. And it even plays into a little bit about our mindset of not getting caught in that. Like, so that person on the bench could be looking at us and like, man, I wish I had his arms.
Right.
Meanwhile, we're sitting there like, man, I wish I had that guy's chest or whatever the case may be. We want to keep that mindset to not – when we compete with someone, let's let them know. Let's challenge each other.
Right.
But we're not secretly competing with people. If you are, you're losing the competition against yourself.
Yeah. Well, here's a good thing. You know, Simon Sinek, I follow him quite a bit. And on one of his talks, he said – there was a guy he just absolutely was fearful of. And he was fearful of because this individual possessed every strength that he had as a weakness. And so he almost felt like he was beneath this individual. And there was a presentation where the person that organized it said, hey, we're going to put you two on the stage together. And we're going to have you introduce him, and he's going to introduce you. And they were backstage before the whole thing, and he went up to him and said, hey, I want you to know I'm terrified of you, but here's why. And the guy said, it's crazy, because I feel the same way about you. And they become best friends ever since that date. But they didn't realize that the thing that was keeping them apart was actually what should have brought them together. Their weaknesses is what, you know, mentally they're saying, this guy is superior to me. But in actuality, they had a chance to learn more from each other.
That makes me think of when if we feel uncomfortable, embarrassed, or smaller because of a weakness that I'm going to – so if I was going to reach out to you, Alex, you're a mentor of mine. Mm-hmm. If I was going to reach out to you and say, hey, you know, I'm really lagging in this area and you're really strong on it. Mm-hmm. If you were to do anything other than help me, you're probably not the success model I wanted to follow
exactly.
after.
Exactly, 100%.
I'm sorry. I say it to say that if you feel lesser – to reveal your weakness to your mentor, to your competitor, to whatever, that's not the person.
Right. Well, and here's a good point behind that. There's been many times that you and I have sat down right in front of each other and we've said, hey, what about this? What about that? And we compare these two things and I have a different opinion, you have a different opinion, and you go ahead and do what it is that you said, hey, this is kind of the route I'm thinking, and you do it and it provides success, you know? Because maybe my way didn't work the way I thought it would work. But we are friends and we understand that, hey, you know what? It's not – my way is not the right way every time. You know? Right.
And keep
so
it open mind.
That's where that beneficial relationship is you'll expose things. I'm like, oh, dude, I never even thought about it like that.
Right.
That's where that masterminding comes in. That's where when you're spending quality time with somebody and I don't mean quality time as in, you know, hey, we're hugging each other and everything else. I just mean that we're able to walk away from the time we spent, feel like we've grown to some degree.
Right. And that's not to attest to your ability and strength, but to see something from a different point of view and be able to say, to allow you to have enough discipline, integrity, and control over yourself to say, hey, we need to evaluate that. Man, I didn't realize I wasn't looking at that.
Right. And it's humility.
Humility. Absolutely.
You know, that's the big driving factor, because you get an individual where ego is everything and you cannot teach them to change anything.
Yep.
You know, we used this example before we went live, Blockbuster Video, you know.
Right.
We're good. That's never going to work. You're not going to get those DVDs in the mail. You don't want that. Where's Blockbuster at now? Because they were never humble enough to say, hey, Netflix is onto something.
There's something else going on there.
Right. There's something. And now we're just streaming it. Literally, I downloaded a movie before I got on my flight.
That's crazy.
Because I could get on the flight, no internet access, and watch the movie. I didn't end up watching the movie. I wound up listening to a book. But, I had the ability.
Right.
Literally, the thing I stick in my pocket is now a Blockbuster Video.
Right.
Isn't that insane? Right.
It's crazy. You know? Yeah. It's a good test to Blockbuster. I mean, while they plan it firm and you know, it's at some level, I don't know if they – specifically at ego issues, but we're going to pick on them a little bit.
We're going to say they do.
We're going to say they did. While they stood firm and said, no, we got it.
Yeah.
You know, if they would have the truths are now, because the clock has already turned. The truth of the matter is, you know, if they would have took a more humble stance and evaluated their situation, they may still be in business.
The situational awareness too, just saying, hey, things are changing.
Things are changing.
You know, COVID's exposed a lot of this. Things are changing. I got an email the other day and it was from a title company. The title company was initially kind of abrupt with their response. So like, we're not doing any more e-closings for you guys. And I'm like, excuse me? Like, this isn't something you hear from a title company, you know? And I asked that person, instead of getting defensive and fighting, I said, tell me what it is that you're having trouble with. Maybe I'm doing a poor job on my end where I can help train you and teach you some things.
Right.
Turns out the issue she was having was completely our fault. The getting the client geared up to sign those documents before they went to closing was what we should be doing. But what was happening is they were getting to closing and the closer was saying, oh, you've got to access your email and sign some documents in there.
Right.
My point in saying this is
if you wouldn't have identified that piece as well.
And the evolutional piece of it. We're now getting to a point where, and she said, you're the only company I work with that has e-sign, you know, so many other documents. A lot of other companies are still paper, paper, paper. COVID hit. We pivoted. We said, okay, we've got to release this. We've got to do it now. We haven't quite fine-tuned the process and the pieces that go with it. The humility part is when I said, what is it that we're not doing right? And then to be able to say, that's our mistake. we're doing something wrong there. That's our fault. That's not yours. I apologize for your frustration. We're going to fix it, you know?
So some I'm going to throw a quote out there. Some years back, a mentor of mine from California shared it with me, and it vividly stuck with me. It's been right. Several years, but talking about being flexible and willing to learn new things, and it said that during times of change, which is always, mm-hmm. During times of change, the learners will inherit the earth, and the learned will find themselves beautifully equipped for a world that no longer exists.
Mm.
So those that know, I know, I know, I know. You absolutely know.
Right.
As change happens, what you knew no longer exists. You did know. It doesn't change the knowledge that you know.
Exactly.
But because change is constant, we always have to be learning, so we always have to not know at some level.
Dude, that's extremely powerful when you distill that down to what it actually means. The power behind that, like if you're not willing to open your mind and continue to learn and continue to evolve and continue to grow, what you once knew becomes obsolete.
Absolutely. You know? And it will.
And that's just crazy. It's profound to actually sit back and analyze and distill that down. You know, and I'm hoping that the people that listen are doing exactly that. Like, I know it's probably easy to listen to us talk because of our voice.
No, super awesome voices.
Exactly. No, but seriously, the messages that we're trying to
good
put
thing
out
they don't
here.
Don't have to look at us.
Right. Exactly. You got a face for radio. But the taking everything and kind of breaking it down to your own level, wherever you're at, like the message that we're projecting and putting out there is made for the individual that's just starting out or the individual that's trying to figure out how to get to the next level.
You know? Absolutely.
And we have people that are mentors to us. We have people that we look up and say, okay, up the next rung of the ladder. You know,
right.
How do we get there? So the message behind this is, you know, take it, put the value that you need, pull that out of this conversation and try to figure out what it is that you need to do next, get to the next level.
What you can know? You get? I think it was Grant Cardone that said it at some point in time, but that went on, as most people have said before, went on like this, like, hardcore reading kick for a little while. I still do a lot of reading, but it got like excessive for a period of time.
Right.
And I would, when I would pick up a book, I would, you know, if some, maybe it was recommended, read the preface, read the back cover, I don't know. Before I even started the book, it became addicting, and I would literally get excited for, I would think like this whole entire book, these 500 pages, whatever it is, when I get done,
right.
I started realizing and breaking down. I realize there's so much more, okay? But I would get excited when I start a book that there was one value that I'd take away from this book and was going to help change my life.
Yeah, that's
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
There's of course, a lot more than one value in any given book, right? But I knew if I could just extract one, that was a building block for my life.
Yeah.
And I suggest that, like, however, whatever, like, the author might have said, if you sat down and spoke to the author and said, what did you want people to extract? And then you came to me and said, what was the one thing you extract? They might have been totally different.
Right.
But I was extracting that one thing. And I just – it made me think, and when you were saying, you know, for people listen to this, whatever we even wanted you to get is almost irrelevant too, as long as you can extract one building block, that's one more building block on your next level.
110%. Yep. No, you're absolutely right. And you actually led into exactly what I was going to say, which is if you're pulling a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece there, but you're continuing to grow. So we go back to when you were the book nerd. If you read 40 books in a 6 month period, you know, that's 40 different opportunities
blocks.
That you have to pull and say, ooh, this, ooh, that, you know, and sometimes they're overlapping, but sometimes that overlapping just makes it better.
I watched it happen for, you know, I mean, it's powerful. I only say this to you guys from my heart. I guess I'm not a carpenter at any level or a contractor or constructor, but I guess I would suppose if you started on a construction job and you had a hammer and a screwdriver, each one of these building blocks that I got out of my book was literally another tool in my toolbox.
Right.
So I found myself like trying to figure out how to do everything with a hammer and a screwdriver. And as time went, every time, like one more tool in the toolbox. Oh, cool. I got a grinder. One more tool in the tool. Next thing you know, I had any tool I could possibly think of, and I knew how to overcome any construction objection in my life.
Right. Well, and based on the items that you initially started with in your toolbox shows that you're not a carpenter.
That's great.
I'm just teasing you. No, but that's a very good analogy, you know, because you always hear that analogy. What's in your toolbox? What do you have? The toolbox this, you know, toolbox. I'm going to give you a toolbox that's going to allow you to do X, Y, and Z. But the fact of the matter is, like you said, getting those pieces. And eventually you get to the point where you've replaced the hammer and now you have a nail gun. And now you're more advanced, and now building is quicker and it's stronger and it's faster and it's better and the product intensifies. The thing is, And here's where that leads to with me. This is my piece I'm taking from what you just said. You never stop evolving. You never stop growing. You always start arming yourself with new tools.
Immediately.
And old books and new books, they all have pieces in them that are relevant to today's thought process.
Absolutely.
You know? So I know we've ran this one a little over, but there's so much great content within this podcast that there was no reason to cut it off soon, you know?
I'm glad we kept it going. This was huge.
Yeah, it definitely is. And I could keep going, honestly, because there's so much value in this when people listen and actually take – and like I said, like you said before, listen to a book and take one item. If there's one thing we said that potentially helps you, let us know what it is. You know, I'm curious to know that when we talk, the message being received on the other side, is it a message that's constructive? Or is it, hey, I've got a little bit of a drive home and I'm just going to listen to the podcast to get some time?
because our voices are so great.
Exactly. Maybe they'll listen to it before bed.
No, that's awesome. I appreciate being on here and being able to share these things. I'm sure that there's going to be people out there that are going to get that value and that nugget from it.
There is. And just so you're aware, you know, as far as your contribution, having you on the show, like people enjoy the fact that you and I have very similar thought processes that are processed in very different ways. Like you and I see eye to eye on a lot of things, but the way we approach it is different sometimes. Yeah. And I think people enjoy that slight contrast, but the fact that it blends very well.
Right.
And that's what makes this so powerful. And that's why, no question about it, we need to keep pushing forward with what we have going on. But awesome. So awesome show today. I hope everyone took something from the show. We hope that you have a great weekend, whatever it is that's in front of you. And we hope that we've provided value to you in some way. Any closing words?
Be great.
Be great. There you go. Thanks again for tuning in. We'll talk soon.